Lagos Talks 91.3 and Corporate Shepherds presents the Man of the Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome ID Enang. This is Navigate with ID Enang.
Welcome, dear friends, to Navigate with ID. Such a pleasure to be here. You know, when you look at the times and how things are evolving, you just wonder, wow, here we are in October, and before we say good morning, we'll be sitting in December. Friends, it's another day, and I'm grateful to God for life. I'm grateful for your life, too. As we go through this trajectory of life and then experiencing the best things that are happening to us, whatever it is, I just want you to understand that your best days are still ahead. As you know, we've been looking at the theme for the month, the making of a brand. And just on Tuesday, when I had the pleasure of hosting Niyi Kunu on the program, you all recall that we took the making of a brand in several dimensions, giving it a national, an individual, a family, and all manner of scoop in order to bring this brand to the fore. Today, I want to focus very sharply, and I'd say very narrowly, on what I would call the personal brand. Remember, we're talking about building or the making of a brand. And so let me just look at personal branding for just a little bit of your time, if you permit me. But I'll start by, you know, going back to what I had said previously. In the course of my career, I had the privilege of going through marketing as a brand manager. It was interesting that the early days of marketing, we always walked around positioning. We always walked around building the brands, building communication, and doing all manner of things, but from the lens of a person. We always said to ourselves that a brand is a bundle of benefits. A brand is seen in the space and the nurture of a person. Their humanity and their humanism around brand is sitting in that space. And I remember with every sense of nostalgia, when the words B-R-A-N-D were mentioned, we always had something to go with it as we began to walk through marketing the brand. So I had a rare privilege of sitting within the confines of the brand like Guinness, a brand like Malta Guinness, a brand like Harp, a brand like Coca-Cola, Fanta, Sprite, Samsung, L'Oreal, in varied dimensions, whether it's Dark and Lovely, or you want to talk about L'Oreal Paris. I mean, all of these brands have come into my life in 30 years, but I'll tell you one thing. Each of them has been created with a single lens of looking at it as a person. A brand makes a proposition, and there is a take away from your end as a consumer or end user, and later on, you are able to identify with it and say, this is the brand for me. This is why I use this brand. This is why I use this service, simply because it aligns with my person. So I bring all of that to one space to let you know that individuals are brand name personalities. There is a brand called me. Me is a brand, and that is you. Brand you, brand me. And what does it take to really sit within the ambits of brand me? Do you know that personal branding can be attributed and taken as a process where people and their careers are marked as brands? So let me start with a very good example. My friend RMD. RMD is a brand. Now, you can actually see how the person of Richard Mofe Damijo as a person and his career have boldly come together, and when you hear the name RMD, it reminds you of something. When you hear the name Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan reminds you of the proficiency of this young man that grew up, you know, playing basketball. When you hear the name Bobby Brown, when you hear the name George Foreman, Now, each of these personalities were once upon a time sportsmen, artists, or entertainers, and they migrated from that space to producing products for you and I to use. And at the end of the day, those products have become brands. So when you go into cosmetics, when you go into makeup, Bobby Brown has an extension, he has a line there. Michael Jordan, in terms of shoes, basketball shoes, canvas, knock-on shoes that you need. George Foreman, when you talk about the best of the best appliances, home appliances, you'll get there. Now, even the current president, Donald Trump, I tell you, for many years, I didn't even realize that most of the suits that I bought and cufflinks were all Donald Trump. It was until lately that I actually stumbled on it. I was wearing a cufflink and one of my friends said to me, "Wow, ID, look at what you're wearing." I said, "What?" And I looked at it and I said, "Wow." Yeah, because that name had actually gone into the space of clothing, not just with real estate. So the question I want you to think about is, when you look at brand you, brand me, your career today, with every sense of duty and diligence, someday can actually morph into a personal brand that you will have an entity and everybody will know you simply because you've been able to leverage the dictates and the reputation of coming through a very successful career. It could be in sports, could be in economics, could be in entertainment, but trust me, at the end of it, you need something that says to you, this is a personality that I really want to associate with, and that brings you to the space of value. So in a personal branding context, remember the topic of the month is the making of a brand. I want you to understand that without value, any brand ceases to exist. So my question to you is, what is the value of brand me? That is, what is the value of brand you? So if you personalize it, you should be asking yourself, what is the value of brand me? Brand value is defined. I'm going to get technical a bit. Getting into the branding school now, or the brand management school. Brand value is defined as the net present value of earnings the brand is expected to generate and secure in the future. Let me simplify net present value, NPV. I'll try to put it in a context that you will understand. Let me use a naira. Today we are talking about inflation and all that has happened. Once upon a time, with a 100 naira note, you could walk into a supermarket and buy something. Once upon a time, I doubt if you walk into a supermarket today, you'll be able to walk out with something with a 100 naira note, possibly a candy, maybe a candy, possibly. But 15 years ago, you could walk into a store with a 100 naira note and you'll be able to at least get a few items off the shelf. Now, the net present value of what that currency is bringing to the table is telling you that over time, the value has been eroded. It has, you know what, lost some measure of value. That is the same thing that happens to you when someone looks at you and says your name, calls your name. Now, the totality of your name is presenting who you are in terms of your total reputation. It could be your character. It could be the way and manner in which you expose yourself. It could be everything and anything. And so it is important that in moving through the journey of life, that many of us must understand that a good name is better than riches. That in the future, someone is going to refer to that name, and that name, God help you, is not devalued. That many of us working today, especially the older ones who do not care, who have put their names and sold their names, I bet you when their children begin to grow up, there'll be loads of changes of names. Why? There will be change of name. Why? Because that name you have may be associated with something that is negative or derogatory. Now, who needs a brand that is not conforming in a good space? And so it is important that when you ask yourself, what is the value of brand me? That you look at the net present value of what your name presents and what your name will secure in the future and within a certain time frame. Let me ask this question in another form. What is your worth? What are you worth? Today, if you are currently in some employment, maybe you are a manager, and then you go for some interview and you are being headhunted for another role in another company, typically they'll ask you, sir, how much would you like to be paid? Or what type of compensation do you expect? Very many times, many people are normally struck with silence. Or they say, you actually have, I'm sure you're a big organization, and so you must have what you pay people at that grade. That is nonsense. It's simply because you don't understand the value of brand you. You can't call me noun. You couldn't call me 10 years ago. I tell you, even at the stage when I was going to join Guinness, as a little 24-year-old management trainee, I remember sitting in front of this panel of eminent seniors then. I didn't know there were a lot of them directors and very senior managers. The personal director was there. The sales training and development manager was there. The manpower development manager was there. The marketing director was there. And so on and so forth. These seven men sat in this panel and they looked at me and they asked me, so, what do you expect to be paid? Remember, it was 1990. And they asked me, what do you expect to be paid? And just smarting from, you know, I had a joint in camp. I served in Port Harcourt at that time, River State, and then New Camp. I'd set up a space where my friend and I, DK Dimiri, we called it The Hive. And I looked at what I was earning, you know, from just 2 weeks of sitting in camp there and selling pepper soup and booze to guys. And I said to them, really and truly, what would I like to be paid? I said, at the minimum, 1,000 naira a month. Now, 1,000 naira in 1990 was a lot of money, you know. So I said, 1,000 naira. And that just summed up to 12,000. And they said, okay, that's fine. And I walked away. Now, I tell you something. 5 years after, when I had the privilege of being invited for another interview by Shell, at that time, I've moved over to the Coca-Cola company. And I was now at Coca-Cola, and Shell invited me for an interview. It was in Port Harcourt. And then we went through, you know, the typical first stage, second stage. By the third stage, we're all sitting face to face. And they looked at me and said to me, we already have our band, and this is where you fit. And they said, any questions? I said, am I getting an official car? They said, no, it's going to be monetized. I said, am I getting a cell phone? Then we had 090, not 90. I used to call them then. I had a not 90. My number was actually 403749. I remember like yesterday, not 90, 403749. That was my number, Motorola, at that time. And they looked at me and said, where is this guy coming from? No, we are not going to give you any cell phone. I said, guys, forget it. I left Aba Road. The office was on Aba Road. I said to them, well, sorry. First and foremost, it's very critical for me to have an official car. My current job at Coca-Cola, I have an official car. As you can see, I have a cell phone. I have X, I have Y. And they looked at me and said, well, here we monetize. We do not take on those assets. I said, well, where I'm coming from, we turn assets into self-worth. Let me tell you something for free. An official car is like having 50% additional expense off your pay pack. You're getting, when you have an official car from a company, it brings 50% more value to whatever you have. What do I mean? The fuel, maintenance, And everything about it comes from that little piece called a car. And so if some other employer is telling you, I'll monetize it, they are basically outsourcing the responsibility of maintenance of X, of Y, of Z. You're going to fuel it yourself, but the cost will come back to you. And in your head, you think you got a fair deal. Well, it's relative. Depends on the kind of car. If they give you a tuke-tuke, it's a car. But if they give you a solid Mercedes, then you know you have something that is worth your while. Friends, what I'm saying, it's about brand value. So I walked away 97. And I'm saying this to you, not because this corporation was paying so well. I mean, you look back at what the oil and gas guys were paying then, and where I was working for the Coca-Cola company, you would say, is this guy crazy? Why would he leave? Why would he, you know, leave an opportunity working for Shell? But hey, at the end of it all, what I got, you know, for me, for myself, and every other thing was what my worth was. And if you cannot hire me and get me a cell phone, if you can't hire me and put a generator in my house, if you want to hire me and you don't put in all of those things, then keep your job. I'll move on. You might think it's arrogance. It is not. It's understanding the value of brand me. And those are the things that many of us take it for granted. We commoditize ourselves. Somebody just sees you and pays just 50,000 naira. Some of us are so, I don't know, taken away that, I mean, 100,000 naira, someone just adds it to your salary and say, join me. And you foolishly leave your job because of 100,000. At that point in time, you're not thinking of tax. By the time you apply tax, the money is bound to zero or less than. If you get an increment of 100,000 on your total, at this rate of inflation, trust me, by the time they tax it, you'll be less than. Your take home will not take you home, just take it to the bus stop. And when you get to the bus stop, you are not going to enter a bike. You know what you'll climb on? You'll climb on something different. That's the point at which we begin to talk about equity. So what is brand equity? Brand equity is a measure that outlines the added value a brand name gives to the underlying product. Your name is Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo. Your name is Michael Dell. Your name is Aliko Dangote. Your name is Tyra Banks. Your name is Oprah Winfrey, Mo Abudu, Richard Mofe Damijo, Banky Wellington. Now, this is equity. Many of us don't love that thing called equity. When they call your name in full, people do what? They sigh. Then you know that your brand has been eroded. That the value of your brand has been seriously eroded. And so when the time comes for anybody to put a wager on you, on your character, on your disposition, on your person, they'll tell you, no way, I won't touch that one. You have been devalued just like the currency. And that's why it's important that we must go back to brass tacks and begin to talk about the making of a brand. Not just about our nation. Nigeria is beginning a new journey. We want to make a new nation out of the current rubble. So as we are making this new nation evolve, we must have new people, fresh mindsets, fresh thinking, a fresh dimension to life. Without the making of a new people, a new nation will only be a farce, because it's the people that make up the nation. I believe with all of my heart, as you look at every world-class brand, there's something that they have that we need to benchmark. And that's going to be the focus of my conversation with you, mostly on the second half of this particular short treatise on a personal brand. Very many times we look at a brand and wonder, how have they stayed 100 years? Why have they been able to survive 150 years? There are certain things that they are doing. That's why they are world class. How have they been able to come through thick and thin? Now, this same brand will have several products in the portfolio. Why do they churn out these products and people will of necessity align with them? It's because they built equity. Equity. And I repeat the word, equity. A man or woman of equity is a man of substance. I'm not talking about, equity is not about when you want to get a loan and they say bring in like 20% or bring in your 30. Yes, that's equity. That's financial equity. But I'm talking about the totality of you, that on self-recognition, you walk into a space and you say to someone, my name is so-so and so, and they ask you, wow, which of the souls is that? And you say, oh, that is my father. Now, your father may have worked in a certain space 2 decades ago. You'll be shocked that part of the fruits that your father had sown as a seed then would be the people that are in charge now, and they remember the good deeds, what your father had done or your mother had done. And without you having to raise an arm or a leg or a pin, you walk right into a place of favor. You know why? Because your father or your mother or your relation that carries that name had equity. And that equity is lifelong. It's not for a short time, which is why I'm saying to you, it's important that we have a rethink about how we are going to build our personal brands. Go to any of the top world-class brands. I had the privilege of working, you know, at the course of my career with six of such world-class brands. And I tell you, till this day, they will remain relevant. They will always remain different because they have what is better and special. Why? The brand first. Brand first. Everything they have sits around reputation. You cannot joke with reputation if you're speaking about the Coca-Cola company or Diageo, as in Guinness, or L'Oreal, or Samsung. They would rather than the name go into the mud, they will open up, come through with what we talked about, ensuring that the codes, transparency, and they are law-abiding. So if you are sitting today and you want to be like these world-class brands, you must be able to watch them very closely and say, what exactly has made you stay for this number of years, over 150 years? It's simply because the brand has been able to establish not just a point of difference, but has been able to sit in a place where it speaks of essence. So as we come through in the next or in the second half, I'm going to be talking to you and benchmarking what makes the brand, the brand. We're going to look at the world-class brands and what they do. I'll give you about 7 pointers, and I'll also tell you what you need to do in order for you to start building your own image and your own brand. Because image building actually starts with the right positioning. If you are not well positioned or you do not have a sense of positioning, a matter of time, you will just be like a rudderless ship. You know what it is when a ship has no rudder, has no direction. When we get back, we'll get into that space, and hopefully you will learn a thing or two that will help you in the process of building brand new. We'll be right back. Thank you.
This is Navigate with ID, brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.
Welcome back, my dear friends, to Navigate with ID. Just in case you're joining us for the first time, we've been looking at the theme for the month under this beautiful program, The Making of a Brand. And today, I chose to go on the personal trajectory by looking at the making of a personal brand. And in the last couple of minutes, been speaking to the dimensions of brand me, meaning brand you and I. And I asked the question, what is the value of brand me? The other question I asked is, what is your worth? Do you have a good sense of your brand value and what brand equity represents? I got to the point where I spoke about world-class brands, I've had a rare privilege of working for some world-class organizations and brands, to which I'm grateful to God for that opportunity. That has given me the insight to be able to share with you the things I'm about to share. Now, if you want to look at the world-class brands, and if you talk about world-class brands, look at brands in any category or sector that they play, that you call them the top 100 brands, the top 500 in the world. There are some brands that don't shift. There's some that have been in the top 10 in the last 10 years. And you wonder, why have they maintained the top 10? There's some that have been in the top 20 or the top 50 or the top 100. Let me bring it home to you. If you are in a certain industry in this country, so let's assume within your professional group, and they want to ask for the top 100 professionals in accounting, or the top 100 in architecture, or the top 100 in engineering, or marketing, or pharmaceuticals, or medicine, whatever field of endeavor, would your name be counted among the 100? Now, we're not talking about the strength of your bank account. They're looking at the total brand value. Would you be seen as one of the top 100 guys to consider within the professional spectrum within your industry? Will you be considered for the top 500? Even the top 700 or the top 1,000? Now, that begins to come home, right? That's exactly what happens when you find the big multinationals or the big corporations within their sector, they're fighting to be number one. You find within technology, certain brands are forever looking for the number one spot. And then you have the followers, number two, number three, number four, number five. But then, if you abrogate the same thing to yourself, where would you be? And so, I want to benchmark what makes the brand, the world-class brand, Stay, and Brand Me. So I'm going to go through, I think, about 7 bullet points within the course of, you know, the next episodes. I may have the privilege to still break this down, or if you want to know, you may ask, as we'll soon be starting our Ask ID series. These are the kind of things I want to be able to share with you when we get to that other space called the series, where we can openly ask questions. The first item that I would like to showcase for your consideration, why world-class brands remain top of their game, is brand visioning and brand strategy. World-class brands have a vision and they have strategy. You will rarely find any world-class brand that is visionless. Otherwise, it won't be world-class. I bet you when they started, most of them did not have a vision to be world-class. But they had a vision to be able to be the best in class, but not world-class. But as time continued to roll, and as things began to unfold, they began to open that vision to a wider screen, and in no time, the geographic representation of their businesses will grow out of the region into different facets or continents. And so when you look at world-class brands, one attribute they have is that they plan. There's a brand strategy. So you have a brand like Coca-Cola, there's a strategy, definitely. You have a brand like Samsung, there's a strategy. You have a brand like MTN, there's a strategy. You have a brand like Wema, there's a strategy. You have a brand like Guinness, there's a strategy. Brands have strategy. Now, what then do you as an individual under Brand Me, what does it tell you? What it tells you is that if you want to be able to extract value from your name, from your character, from your reputation, if you want to build your brand, you must be clear about where you're going. And so you need a personal vision and you need a personal strategy. If you do not have a personal vision now, there is no way you can get to the top of your game. when they call the top 100, you will be missing. Even when they call the top 10,000, they won't even see your brake lights. But if you start today, having heard my voice and the sound of what I'm saying to you, you can start now. It's never too late to have a vision. It's never too late to have a personal strategy. That's one of the things that we do in Corporate Shepherds. We help people to shape their own futures. Now, in the next couple of days or weeks, you'll begin to see us roll out certain products, all to help you get to that destination. We have a guided professional support program, which is really for executives. Listen, friends, I say this with every sense of glory and honor to God. When I started my career as a 24-year-old young man, I said to myself that by the grace of God, when I'm 45, I should be a chief executive officer. Some of my friends laughed at me and said, "You, Mr. Loudmouth, 45. And I remember that one of our seniors then asked me and said, "ID, how do you believe that at the age of 45, you'll be a CEO? I said, "Now I'm 24. In 21 years, if I cannot make CEO, then something is wrong with me." I didn't say something is wrong with the company. At that time, I didn't even know that I was not going to be with Guinness. At that time, Guinness used to have the MDs come through in the 50s. They were 50-year-olds. The late Fred Okwala, the late Maxwell Oteri, the late my marketing director then, Chief Alabi, they all came in their 50s. And so everybody believed that if you had to be MD, you had to come, it had to be when you'll be 50. And I said, no, it doesn't have to be Guinness. So I had a personal strategy, friends, and I broke out that strategy in chunks of 5 years. That story for another day, because I was a brand manager and I saw that in coming out with a brand promise, with a brand vision, how come I would not have a personal vision and a personal strategy? That is what helped me to shape the direction, trusting God to be the enabler. But I want to tell you something, friends. There is nothing like magic when it comes to life and career success. There is something called predictable progress. And I want to say that you underline the words predictable progress. If I sit with you by the grace of God and by the auspices of the Holy Spirit, I sit with you in 15, 30 minutes, I can tell you whether you are going somewhere or you are just marking time on a particular job or role. This is not for any other thing. It's because I've walked that path. I've come through as a little boy. I became a lad and a grown man. And now I can sit on the table of kings because I've come through the entire spectrum in 3 decades. So you can't be a successful brand if you don't have a vision and a strategy. The second thing that world-class brands do, they have a brand marketing plan. Every successful world-class brand has a marketing plan. And a marketing plan is a subset of their business plan. I remember then, every year it's a ritual. They start by looking at 3 years out. Some start by saying 10 years from now, which is part of the brand strategy. They have a business plan. And in that business plan, there is a marketing plan. How are we going to sell this brand? What do we need to sell this brand? For you as Brand Me, you need personal goals and plans. Many of us are just walking idle. You're looking to one uncle or one aunt. No, you must have a personal goal. You must be driven by the best of the best inside you. You must have self-motivation. You must be ready to embrace that which you see, because your best dreams come when you are awake. A man or woman that doesn't have a goal or a plan is again just like a rudderless ship. You're going nowhere. Have you ever imagined a man stepping out of his house and gets to the bus stop and he sees any bus that gets there, he just jumps in. And when he gets on and they say, "Where are you going?" He say, "Where is the bus going?" One or two times I've had the privilege of, you know, boarding a flight. In the days when you had all the aircrafts on the tarmac, aero contractor, and then the next minute you find someone saying, "Ah, no, I'm going to Jos. I'm going to just, where's Port Harcourt? Sorry, I'm not going to Port Harcourt. How did you get yourself on the plane going to Jos? Number one, you're either absent-minded or you had no mind at all. Many of us are not present-minded about where we are going. You don't understand that your brand has a value. If you don't bring it into the person being you, you can't extract value from it. So you need a marketing plan. You need to set goals. You need to have a plan. You need to be very clear. The third attribute that world-class brands and what they do to keep that sustenance is that they have a clear and established point of difference. Listen, friends. There are two words that I learned very early in my marketing years, and I use it all the time because it was given to me freely in the course of my study when I started my career as a brand manager. The words are R and D. I wish this was a live program where I was seeing you and you were seeing me, and I could ask, what does R and D mean? I bet you that 99% of all of you will tell me research and development. Wrong. Not to say that R&D as research and development is wrong, but within the context of what I'm talking about, establishing a point of difference, R&D for me is relevance and differentiation. You must be relevant to your audience and you must be different from the pack. Many of you going into interviews, you're not relevant. You're not different. You dress just ordinarily. Your thinking is not relevant. Your thinking is not different. Why would someone hire you? They ask you a simple question. Why do you want this job? You say, well, I don't really know, but maybe it's just for me to improve my lot. X. So many people are not relevant in their roles and their jobs because they don't understand the principles of differentiation. So every world-class brand has an established point of difference. That's why they're able to last. I mean, you can't joke with any of the brands I mentioned before. They stand strong. Even when competitors come, they dig digba. Nothing will shake them. Yes, initially there will be some little shaking here and there. You know, what it reminds me of is going on a cruise ship. A mighty one on the Mediterranean that houses about 6,000 inhabitants. And when that cruise ship is going through, the wake that comes after will tumble any boat. Those are the big brands. That's why they are world class. So what do you need as brand you to mimic what the world class brands called established point of difference? There's something God has given you, my friends. Natural gift. God has given you a talent. Natural talent. It's a gift from God. Every one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. But what you do not know is if you don't know what skill that you have and talent you have, you'll just be a commodity. And that's why it's important to always upskill. That's why it's important to discover and know who you are. That's why self-awareness is critical. The fourth element that makes world-class brands tick is that they have dedicated resources called brand managers. Go into any of these great companies that have great brands, you will always hear the word brand manager. I was a brand manager. I was brand manager for Satzenbrau. I was brand manager for Fanta. I was brand manager for Fanta and Crest. I was brand manager for Coca-Cola. At one point, I was strategic marketing manager for all the Coca-Cola brands when I had the privilege of overseeing 39 countries. Now, I know what it is to have a brand. Once upon a time, I was brand manager in a different context. When I was at Cadbury, all the Cadbury brands as commercial director, I was responsible. Then as managing director, trust me, you are the number one brand manager. So we can take Samsung, you can take all the L'Oreal brands, and then I'm telling you, we are all dedicated resources called brand managers. So what is it for you as brand you? How do you mimic? Who should be your own brand manager like the world-class brands have? It's important that you have a coach and a mentor. So go and look for someone who has gone on that track before. The road less traveled is the one that you have someone that will serve as your sponsor. That will tell you, using the Yoruba parlance, Gbabi Magbabe, go this way, don't go that way. But many of you just jump on every toad you see and say, this is my mentor, and the Brita become your tormentor. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a dedicated resource, someone who is responsible enough to say, this is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. I want to see him or her grow. But these days we have more souls, those that are willing to destroy young ones rather than building them up. They come in the guise of politicians, they come in the guise of elections, and rather than making you guys brand managers for their campaign, they destroy the brand by making you go to war. And foolishly, many of you carry cudgels and all manner of things to go support politicians and fight, and their children are sitting at home drinking cornflakes and watching Netflix, and you are out there flexing and doing all kinds of nonsense. Friends, it's time to stop. Young people, hear me well and hear me well. Pull your ears. I'm pulling mine right in the studio. Pull your ears. You need a good mentor and you need a good coach. The fifth thing that world-class brands do, they invest resources in marketing. I'm talking about putting their money where their mouth is. World-class brands invest billions of dollars, or naira if you may, just for marketing. These great brands do put in money to support their campaigns, to sell the functional, emotional benefits, to express the newness and the essence of their brand, to woo you to their world and to make you a permanent resident. They want you as a permanent resident of their brand and company. Do you wonder why? You know, I'll say this very freely and just think about it. If you go into a store and you ask for a bottle of Coca-Cola, sorry, I'm using my companies that I've worked for because I know them. I was brand manager, like I told you. You walk into a store and you want a beverage, a cold drink. You ask for a bottle of Coca-Cola. They say, oh, we don't have it. You wouldn't believe it. The next thing you say, do you have Fanta? Or do you have Sprite? Why is it that when you step into a place and you ask for a certain brand and they tell you it's not available, you always go for the sister brand? You know what? It's called the battle. It's the battle of the family. It's the battle of the mind. Because they all belong to the same stock. When they invest in marketing, you'll see the coloration across the spectrum. That's why companies that have portfolios, they stay strong. Some others that don't have rich portfolios where people can link now say, oh, you mean, and such a company like I worked for L'Oreal, there's so many L'Oreal brands that are sitting out there. You're using them now, but you don't know that they are L'Oreal products because they're not written there. They invest a lot in marketing. Now, what then do you need as brand you? What would you invest in? Many of you say, I don't have money. I can't even. But you have one currency, which is relationships. Relationships is the currency of the spirit and the currency of now. How well you treat and nurture relationships will tell you that's your space. Because down the road, those relationships will bring a return. And the return is the invested character. You see, when we talk about return on invested capital as business or ROIC, when it comes to building a personal brand, you have a return on invested character, ROIC. So on the business side is return on invested capital. On the personal side is a return on your invested character. If your character sucks, forget it. Your currency is dead. It's like the days you used to have safer. You just walk across the border and just change 100 naira, you become a millionaire overnight. That character is defective. The sixth and most valuable point where brands, great brands sit, they have what I call an innovation funnel, innovation pipeline. New products, new processes. They are continuously reinventing themselves, bringing out fresh products, bringing out limited time offers, doing all kinds of things to keep you consistently in that club. You, as an individual, to build your own personal brand, you need to innovate. How do you innovate and do things differently? It's called a paradigm shift. It's a mental transformation, taking away, breaking mental models. So you must begin to renew your mind and the way you think. This is where Nigerians need this big time. I was just driving out of the bank, and there I was facing traffic, and I just wanted to turn off into Awolowo Road and make a left. And there was a bit of traffic blocking the way. And as I inched closer, the car in front of me, rather than give me that space to just go through, the guy was, and he couldn't go anywhere. So I just looked at him, and no, and I did a sign to him to say, hey, are you thinking? You know what happened? When the cars moved, he then realized his folly, and he stopped. I told him to go. No, I was not going to move. He should go. He then realized his folly. It appears that Nigerians have a mental block. The first thing we go, very defensive, especially in Lagos. 1 second, what does it cost you? Just give right of way. Just allow. Be your brother's keeper. We just need that to shift our mental models. Nigeria will be a better place to live. We are so self-centered and selfish, and it's so defensive in nature. That's why we only think about one thing, me, my, I, and no other. It's bad, friends. World-class brands don't think about themselves. They think about users. They think about other people. The products that they serve are not for them. When brands, big brands, launch their products, yes, their staff will use them, but their staff become their ambassadors. But you, your children cannot even call you an ambassador. You get to school and your son sees the father, not because of anything, just begins to duck. Please, that my daddy. Why would you be a terror? You need to change, innovate, change. Because if you are not a good brand father, or a good father brand, or a mother brand, trust me, your child brand is in coma. That's why our society is decrepit. Because the family brand has been totally destroyed. And if the family brand, being the manufacturing plant, is not sorted out, is not kept solid, forget it. Nothing will happen to the national brand. So as we are looking for a new Nigeria, we must have a new family. So every one of us must go back and begin to innovate the way we do things and the way we go about things. This brings me to the seventh and the last point, not the least. World-class and great brands do one thing. They invest heavily in research and evaluation. Research and evaluation. Evaluation is the engine of progress. You find world-class brands continually going back to you, the consumer, the end user, to say, how can we make it better? Are they looking for ways and means in which they'll be able to understand your world, your current world versus the world they were 5 minutes ago, the world they were 1 hour ago? And so they look at you and say, give me the input and the insights, and they evaluate their work that they've done thus far. And that's what helps these world-class brands to make that's what helps them to make progress. So when we come to brand me or brand you, what do you need to help you as you go on this trajectory of building your personal brand? Feedback and evaluation. This is one thing a lot of us hate. Feedback. Tell a man, Oga, please stand well. You take it as an insult. We are so full of ourselves that feedback has become a taboo in our environment. That's why we don't have great brands in people. Because nobody can talk to you again simply because you have 7 figures in your account. You forget that if you have ₦1 million, all you need is 1 naira over that million. You become a poor man overnight. Pray that you don't have 1 naira over that 1 million problem. So why must money be the value? Money cannot do everything. And forget it. Money can buy a house, it will not buy sleep. So why must money be something that will make you so puffed up? And even in the course of your career, people try to give you feedback, either from the company or in forms of appraisal, or from the point of view of one-on-one, you are so puffy and so full of yourself. You are not going through a process of evaluation. How do you ever imagine that your brand will become great? It's just a matter of time you'll become a commodity. And what is a commodity? The only thing that governs a commodity is just price. Your value will drop overnight. If you don't understand it, go check oil. It's a commodity. Go check salt. It's a commodity. When the price hits the roof, everybody runs, celebrates. But overnight, just one airstrike in whatever producing area, it goes down. Supply and demand forces will always come to play with commodities. But you know, when you become a luxury product, my traditional elementary economics, where we used to talk about giving goods, the higher the price, the higher the demand. That's where you can sit, because your value is such that men, women, boys, girls, corporations, businesses can do nothing except they see you, except brand you surface. Just like David. When David, the brand David was coming, all his brothers and everyone had to stand up to receive that little shepherd boy. That's who you are. You can make that personal brand become a great brand just by following these 7 steps I've said to you. Friends, image building starts with the right positioning. When I come next week, I'm going to take you on the journey of positioning. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, go straight to the website, www.navigatewithid.com, or you can follow me on the platforms, Twitter, Instagram. My handle is @IDYENANG. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. Goodbye.
And that was Navigate with ID, brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.